Motivational Monday with yours truly, Pastor Kenneth Bonnet. God bless you on today. It is my privilege to be with you on this evening. Amen. I am so glad. I've had a wonderful day. Amen. Got a whole lot of rest early this morning. Amen. And was able to go golfing. Amen. And had a good time golfing with Pastor Calhoun and Brother Cryer, amen, and just had a good time that evening, amen, and sat down and with my nephews and was able to watch a little movie, amen. And so just relaxed before it was time to come on and went over the lesson, amen. We're still in Job, amen. We're going to finish up Job chapter 22 there. We have been talking about Job these past 3 weeks. Amen. I think going forward, I want to venture and talk about those Beatitudes. And so let the Lord lead me different. Next week, we're probably going to Matthew chapter 5. And our desires go from chapter 5 to 6 to 7. And to look at the Sermon on the Mount. We want to study the message from that so that we can take it step by step and see what God is saying to us relevantly in this day from the Sermon on the Mount. Amen. Very powerful thing. So if you want to read ahead, amen, read ahead, be prepared. I'm going to ask questions, amen. I'm going to ask for feedback as we go through that series, amen. We're not going to rush it. We're not going to try to do one chapter one night. We're going to go verse by verse, amen. And we just want to consume each thought and see what is it saying and look at it step by step. We call it line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. That's how we want to do that. Amen. Job is a very powerful book. Amen. The lesson of Job, you know, most of us that know Job, Job starts off with chapter 1 being that Job was a man that loved the Lord. Brother Joe was someone. And good evening to all of you. I see quite a few of y'all on the line tonight already. Thank you for tuning in so early. Amen. And I will do my best to finish on time tonight and not carry too far over. Amen. And I want to get some feedback about Job, because many of you have read the book of Job, and it may have some challenges in the understanding of the whole process, what Job went through. But what we can see, if I could just kind of give a short synopsis of what happened with Job. Job was a man that loved God. He feared God. He honored God the best way he knew. Amen. And so much that he would make sacrifices unto the Lord on behalf of his children, just in case they had done something or said something in their heart concerning God that was wrong. And so that's how much he honored God. And the Bible goes on to tell us that as the sons of God, as the angels was coming and giving report and their account, in their midst was also Satan. And the Lord asked Satan, "Satan, where you been?" And he said to the Lord, "I've been going to and fro throughout the earth looking for someone worthy of me." And the Lord actually said, "Well, have you considered my servant Job?" And he says, "There's none like him." And so literally, God is boasting on Job. He's proud of Job. And since Satan had said that he had nobody that was worthy of him to tempt, God said, "How you considered my servant?" Now, that sounds a whole lot that, you know, this is not gambling, but the Lord placed a bet on him. Amen. Have you considered my servant, Job? You know, God was very proud of him. And so we know in the beginning of Job's life, he had 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels. He had 5,000 teams of oxen, 500 female donkeys. He had a lot of possessions. Amen. He had 3 daughters, 7 sons. Amen. And so he was blessed immensely. And so one wife, amen, whom he loved, who loved him. He had respect in his community. And all that test that came upon him took out his possessions, killed his children, and all of that we see happens in chapter 1. And then you get to chapter 2, you know, Job lost all of that, chapter 2 is when actually God says, "Ask Satan, have you noticed my servant Job? He is the finest man in all the earth. He is blameless, a man of complete integrity. He fears God and stays away from evil. And he has maintained his integrity even though you urge me to harm him without a cause." So in other words, when it failed the first time, Satan came back and said, you know, skin for skin, a man would give up everything if he has to save his own life, you know. And so God allowed boils and sickness to happen towards Job. and so much till his wife was unable to handle it. And she thought to himself, you know, you're trying to maintain your integrity. Why don't you just curse God and die? And Job replied to her, you talk like a foolish woman. He didn't say she was foolish. He said, you're talking like a foolish woman. And in other words, you know, she was speaking out of her pain and of enduring it. And she was wondering what was going on. And so it's hard in life when challenges hit you, sickness and affliction happen in your life without causes. You know, it wasn't as if you was eating bad and your sickness came from you abusing your own body, but you was doing right. You know, that's like people when they come down with certain cancer, and October being the Breast Cancer Awareness Month, to all you women out there, please remember to do your self-checks and have your friends remind them to do their self-checks. And even men that have extra tissue in the chest, heavy tissue, if you're overweight, it's possible for you to have breast cancer as well because of the excess tissue. So you want to be mindful of that. So please do your self-examination. If you find any unusual lumps, go to your physician and get it checked out. There's a lot of centers, clinics that offer examinations for either low or no cost to help those that cannot afford regular doctor visits. And every community is different. So see what's available in your community. Just begin to do search. You can do online searches for what's available in your community. But we want you to be healthy. And early prevention is key. And early detection is also what can save your life. So be mindful of that. Amen. We know that God is a healer. Amen. But a lot of times we forget that warning comes before destruction. That's not a biblical writing, but it's a biblical teaching. Oftentimes God sends warnings long before the destruction happens. So pay attention to our bodies. Amen. So in this Breast Cancer Awareness Month, let's be mindful of that. Amen. And encourage your friends and family members to do that also. But back to Job. So Job said that to his wife, you're talking like a foolish woman. Mm-hmm. You know, that's not the conversation that we're going to have concerning God. Amen. And then this what really caused the circumstance to change for Job. Job had three friends. Now, because it's hard to pronounce their names, I'm going to say it one time, and later on as I talk about these three men, I'm going to only address them by their first initial. Eliphaz, which is E-L-I-P-H-A-Z, Eliphaz, I'm just going to call him L or E. Amen. The Temanite, okay? And then Bildad, amen. The Shuhite, I'm just going to call him Bill. Amen. And then that Naamanite, amen. I'm just going to call him Name. Amen. So L, Bill, and Name. And that's why I'm a NASA. So don't think I'm giving them new names. I'm just shortening it up so I don't have to slow down to pronounce their names. Amen. But these three men that was wealthy, so they was his equal, they was his peers, they sat down with him, and over 7 days and nights, they sat down with him, and no one said a word to Job. Man. So this man is suffering. And so we have to put ourselves in his shoes. I'm suffering. I'm going through something. Let's say if you was in the hospital or you was home bedridden or, you know, you was ill and your friends came to visit you to see how you were doing. But in their visitation, they just sat there and looked at you. You know, nobody had real conversation to you. You know, that, I don't know if I could have endured 7 days. You know, the first day you being there with me and being silent, I can see my condition being heartening to you, very shocking to you, and you being in a state of not knowing what to say to me. I can kind of see that maybe that first day. But on that second day, I'm looking for you to begin to offer some type of comfort, but they did not do that. So 7 days, they said nothing. And that was terrible, plain and simple. That was terrible. So that is what the phrase adding insult to injury, that was the first step of their adding insult to injury. Then they went on, when they began to talk to him, they began to say to him, you know, things that did not line up with his character. They began to say, you know, things that was pulling him even down that hole of despair and depression. It was pulling him down. And, you know, they were saying things about God, how God will punish people, how God will do things to people. And they were saying it, and it was referenced that, you know, God don't do this to innocent people. God don't allow trouble to happen to innocent people. And stuff like this that's going on with you only happened to the bad, only happened to the unrighteous. And so they begin to paint a picture of, Job, you had to sin. And so he done that. He was the first one to talk, and he kept on. He didn't let up. And then Bill began to add more to it and to validate the first person statements, and kept on just adding more pressure to his already hurting situation. And that's not the way we as modern-day Christians should behave. You know, whatever time frame they was in, they had an understanding that God deals justice to mankind, and God blesses his people. But for whatever reason, they was also under the impression that when you are lined up with God, nothing wrong, nothing bad should happen to you. And so that is not true. And the way we grow, the way that we know that God is a healer, is we have to have sickness so that he can heal. The way we know that God is a deliverer, we had to be in some type of trouble or in some type of bind that God got us through and God got us over. The way that how we know that he's a way maker is that we was lost, and he delivered us from that state of unknown. And so because they was doing that, it put Job in a position where he felt necessary to defend himself. And as he began to defend himself, he began to get deeper and deeper in depression, to so much till he began to curse the day he was born. Now, he cursed the day he was born, and that he was saying, oh, if God would not have allowed my mother's womb to open up to give birth to me, or if I would have died in a womb, and stuff of that nature. And so, you know, he began to question God, why did you let me be born if I had to go through this? And so his direction of his pain was then beginning to be aimed towards God. So he began to talk out of his grief. And because he was doing that, we had a young man that was listening to all of them. And this young man, he was listening to them talking, and he had to check the three friends because he felt that they were wrong for the way they was talking to him. And he felt that they was not given a good report of who God is. And he was quiet because he allowed the three men to say what they said, because he was a much younger man than all four of them. And so he was listening, paying attention, until he began to speak up. And after he spoke, you know, he spoke concerning what Job said and the three friends said. And so Job began to say, oh, if I can write it in a rock so it can last a generation to generation. and so we do still have it today, Job. Amen. But Job was trying to vindicate himself. And he began to question God. And his questioning God was not just about him, but so many other things. And so God dealt with him and said, Job, where were you when I created the universe? You know, you questioned me as to what I'm doing and why I'm doing what I'm doing. He said, where were you when I set the boundaries of the sea, when I set the stars in their places? And so he had to put Job in a right perspective. In other words, you ever have somebody that go hysterical? We've seen it on television at least. And you had to kind of pop that person to get them to break out of that hysterical moment, losing control. You had to kind of get their attention. Well, God did that. And we're now at, for Job, by bringing correction to Job's understanding. So, in other words, God spoke to Job directly. So prior to this, that means Job's relationship with God was not so much what he knew of God personally, but how he was taught and what ways he was brought up. So his upbringing gave him the respect and reverence to God. And what we see here in verse 4:2 is now Job has seen God for himself. God spoke to him in the whirlwind. And so now Job sees God for himself. Now Job has a knowing experience. A lot of times it's easy for us to say we know God until we actually have an encounter that causes us to be completely open to what God is saying and what God is doing for us, in us, and through us. And so this encounter gives Job a real one-on-one experience with God. There's nothing like it. And so I'm not going to testify at the moment, but there's nothing like having a one-on-one relationship, conversation, an intervention with God that you see him. You may not can see the physical manifestation of God, but you hear him to the point that he's speaking to your inner man, that you know it's the presence of God there, and you know there's an interaction. And what you're going through gives you a greater revelation that nobody can take from you. Amen. And so that's where we are in Job 42. Amen. The first 10 verses here, I'm going to let the computer read it so it can go forward. And hopefully you can hear this well.
42.
Reading from the New Living
Translation. Job responds to the Lord. Then Job replied to the Lord, I know that you can do anything, and no one can stop you. You asked, who is this that questions my wisdom with such ignorance? It is I, and I was talking about things I knew nothing about, things far too wonderful for me. You said, listen, and I will speak. I have some questions for you, and you must answer them.
Verse 5.
I had only heard about you before, but now I have seen you with my own eyes. I take back everything I said, and I sit in dust and ashes to show my repentance.
Amen. Now we're going to pause right there. We'll get to these last few verses in just a moment. Dust and ashes was, in that day and time, in olden days, a true sign of repentance was where people would put themselves in a position that would be completely uncomfortable. Sackcloth and ashes was something that irritated the skin. And so one step of repentance was that particular extreme sense of humiliation. Of putting yourself, allowing yourself, subjecting yourself to uncomfortableness. And so he said, I sat in the dust and ashes to show my repentance. That word repentance, it deals with sorrowful of heart, not just sorry that he was caught. You know, because a lot of times when we say we're sorry, we ain't really repenting. It was the fact that we got caught in what we was doing, and we know the easy way out was to say, I'm sorry. Amen. But we wasn't repentance. That word re, you know, we know R-E means to redo. So we're not trying to redo sin, so repentance deals with how your mind thinks. And so when you repent, you rethink. And so that rethinking something comes from a redirection, a sorrowful heart that makes you reexamine the way you've done something. And so his repentance, and showing his repentance, prior to all of this, his life was one of comfort. And, you know, and yes, in his suffering of the boils and the sickness of the sores on his body, he subjected himself to dust and ashes to show that he was sorrowful for change, that he had done what he'd done unto the Lord. A lot of times we have to really, really, really examine ourselves when we say we're sorry to God. If you're truly repentant, is changing the way you process something, how you think about it. and that you're willing now to line up with what God is saying, what God wants for you. And so we have to be very mindful of this act of repentance. Jesus came preaching, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So rethink how you're doing life, because God's way of doing things is present. That's what that verse means. And so for us, regardless to what we feel about it, a lot of times we begin to try, in our pain, we begin to tell God what he should have done in our circumstance and what should have happened in our circumstance. And that's where we go wrong at. When I fell off that ladder, it would have been easy for me to say, well, Lord, I've been working for you, doing this for you. You shouldn't have let me fall. You should have let the ladder tilt, but not throw me. Lord, you could have allowed it. And true enough, he could have allowed all those things. Amen. But the position I have today and the testimony I have today, I would not have it had not those events happened. And some people say, well, I don't see why we have to go through pain in order for God to have glory. I don't see why we have to go through struggle if we're doing this and we're doing that for the Lord. Nowhere in Scripture God gives us that everything was going to be without a struggle. Nowhere. In fact, we're told they that live godly shall suffer persecution. Now, your persecution and my persecution may be different. But everyone in life goes through some type of hardship. You think about a child when they're born. Everyone around them is walking, but they cannot. So in their desire, as their little babies, little infants, they're looking at everybody talking, speaking. Now from them takes something that they must begin to go after. We don't know the mental struggle just to learn how to formulate words. We don't know the mental struggle of a child just to be able to crawl. We don't know how that child feels on the inside emotionally, that everyone is walking but they're crawling. But what we do see is the excitement of a child that learns to crawl. And we see the anticipation of them learning to walk. And every now and then in that process, we see them trying to walk and they fall. And some may begin to cry. But what takes place is a loving parent or a loving sibling or someone that's independent of that child begins to say, don't cry. You can do it. You can do it. That word of encouragement comes, and all of a sudden hope swells up in that child again. And they begin to try again. Amen. And they don't sit there and meddle in the fall. They look for the standing. And what we have to learn as adults, that in life, maybe at certain seasons of our lives, maybe we're crawling. And as we're trying to be successful, that is us standing up and trying to walk in that success. Things happen and we fall. Here's where the challenge becomes. The challenge is, are we going to accept the fall and stay there, Or are we going to do as David did, encourage ourselves, as there's no one else to encourage us? Are we going to encourage ourselves to go forward, to get back up, and to keep moving? When sickness hit our bodies, when afflictions hit our bodies, how long we stay down predicated on our own mindset. Because we have to have the underlying desire to get back up and to get back in line and to keep on pressing on to that higher calling. We heard the scripture that says, I press towards the mark of the high calling. We have to press towards those goal marks in our lives. And so when we see scriptures like that, we can be encouraged. Amen. Now, well, let's verses 7, 8, 9, and 10 read.
Conclusion. The Lord blesses Job. After the Lord had finished speaking to Job, he said to Eliphaz the Temanite, I am angry with you and your two friends, for you have not spoken accurately about me as my servant Job has. So take 7 bulls and 7 rams and go to my servant Job and offer a burnt offering for yourselves. My servant Job will pray for you, and I will accept his prayer on your behalf. Treat you as you deserve, for you have not spoken accurately about me as my servant Job has. So Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite did as the Lord commanded them, and the Lord accepted Job's prayer. When Job prayed for his friends, the Lord restored his fortunes. In fact, the Lord gave him twice as much as before.
Amen. The Lord gave him twice as much as before. He gave him double for his trouble. Now, can we use that as an incentive? I believe so. I don't think it's wrong for us to look at, if I lost something while I was doing right and honoring God, then I must be going through a test. So it behooved me to come out of this test with my hand lifted up as well as my head lifted up, coming out believing that God has something to teach me, there's something for me to learn, there's going to be a testimony for me to share, and in it I may receive double for the trouble. I think that's a good way of encouraging yourself to move forward, because I'm not going through for nothing, that there's a reason for my pain. If nothing else, as a parent, if I go through now, maybe it will keep my children from going through later. Maybe the generation that's coming behind me can be better if I endure the suffering now. As we see the civil rights movement, all of those events that fought for the equality of the black here in America, we see that so many people gave their lives so that we can enjoy ours. So devil did come from it, even those that was martyred, because the next generation was able to do more. When we look at the story of Job, we can look at it and learn from it. we can be encouraged by it. And by being encouraged by it, we can know that sometimes God just want us to show or demonstrate our genuine love for him. Amen. Husband and wives, there's something unique that a husband may do for his wife that proves to her his genuine love and vice versa. Even in friendship, there's something that a friend can do that is genuine from their heart that proves to you of their genuine care and generosity and love and concern for you. Same with parents. And that list can keep growing. And so God's words tell us to love him with all that we are. But how can we prove that? Now, he is God proof that he loves us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That means before we got it right, before we had the mind to be right, Christ gave his life for us. So he demonstrated his love for us first. All of us in this, AD time frame, he did this for us. BC time, they was hearing that the Messiah was coming, that he was going to restore, that he was going to do that. So they heard of what was going to take place. Now, for us, we hear what has already taken place. And so we are the recipients of that which has already been done. So the grace that we have today is because of the work he did so long ago. So he's already demonstrated his love towards us. Now we must receive that love, and we respond in kind that he gave his life for us. Life for life is the even exchange, so we give our life to him. Why? It belongs to him. Amen, somebody. So, read a few verses from this thing, and there was some other comments in here. Amen. Out of Sunday school lesson. Job is one of those stories, when you read it, you know, it's like, You want to have made 42 chapters, but it did. We got 42 chapters in Job, and it's like wild after chapter, just to get the detailed events of what was going on with Job and all of that. But and this one, hope satisfies. So that was the title here, Hope Satisfied. So our hope can be satisfied knowing that after we suffer a while, we'll be able to reign with him. And that's also scripture. Amen. Amen. So so once again, the trouble with friends. After Ill and Bill and Zoe finished speaking to Job concerning his suffering, amen, a young man named Elihah spoke to them, amen. Elihah rebuked the three friends for being unable to give Job a reasonable answer for why he was suffering the way he was suffering. However, Elihu was only able to give a partial answer to Job's question, because Job had a question too, by saying that people cannot understand all that God allows, but must trust him. And a lot of times that's the answer that we give you from the church standing. Trust the Lord. You say, well, why I got to suffer? And our answer is just trust his decision, trust his ways. Because let's be honest. When you think about a child that's born with an affliction and dies, what answer can we really give other than trust God? Trust God will. Because we don't know every plan of God. So it's very hard for me to give you something without making up something, without me searching for something illegitimate. You know, I can't tell you, and I certainly shouldn't tell you if I could, I can't tell you your child died because of some sin you did. That will be adding insult to injury. I have to tell you God knows what's best. I have to tell you just keep on trusting God. And no, it may not be the answer that you want, but it must be the answer I give, because, number one, I do not need to lie to you, and I do not need to make up something to try to make you feel better. Because in doing so, I can provoke more questions than give peace and give you a simple resolve. Some death brings people and families closer. And then other times, some death, because it's not nurtured right, cause people to stray away from God, cause people to have bitterness towards God. There have been people that say, I don't want to serve God that do something like that. And not realizing if God was not merciful as he is, that very statement could cause your death. See, a lot of us want God to be a God of true vengeance. We want God to react quickly and to move swiftly. But if God was truly that vengeful and that ruthless, most of us today would not be here, because we have wronged God with our mouth and our behavior after knowing the right and the wrong. So we have to be very careful. And so the young man gave the best answer he could. You know, he let the three men know, hey, man, y'all ain't talking for God. Y'all not speaking for God. And yes, they may have been godly people. But just because we're godly people don't mean we're always speaking on behalf of God. And they was out of order. We know they was out of order because God spoke to them and told them, hey, you didn't do right by my servant. You didn't help him in this time of trouble. You didn't encourage him. I love the scripture. The Bible says, if you catch your brother, it's catching. It's if you see your brother in a fault. If we experience our brother or sister that has fallen, that has erred, our job, thank you, Sal, our job is not to add condemnation to them, but our job is to extend the helping hand to encourage them back to the Lord. That's why he said, you that are spiritual, restore. There's a spirit of restoration that's supposed to be on us as believers. I try to exercise that in my teaching, in my ministry, in my lifestyle. How can I restore someone? All lives, all souls matter. Every soul has the right to be redeemed, regardless of how bad we see it. Redemption was put here for all of us, even the ones that are unblackable, because God so loved the world that he gave. Don't mean he likes our deeds. Don't mean he agree with them. What he loves is the soul that he's designed. Period. And with that being said, I think I must open the mic, so let me switch back over and begin to get some talk back from a few of you all. Amen on tonight. I do have more to say, but want to make sure we have ample time to get some comments in and some feedback here. Amen. Okay, there we go. Every time I switch back over to the board, I have to wait on it to reload. All right. So at this time, I'm going to open up the lines. Amen. I'm going to say, how you doing? How's your mental tonight? Did you get anything out of the message tonight? Is there something that you think you need to add into it? Amen. And if you have a question, please feel free to ask your questions on tonight.
Amen.
I closed that one line because there was a lot going on in your background. I open it back up in a moment. I want to acknowledge the area codes before y'all start talking. So area code 256, thank you for joining us tonight. Area code 404, thank you so much. Area code 216, thank you. Area code 901, thank you. Area code 305, thank you, thank you. That's the line that I did mute. I will open your line back up. And definitely if you want to say something, just press 1. And I definitely will reopen it quickly. Amen. Area code 440, thank you for tuning in. Area code 205, thank you. And area code 904, thank you so very much. So many of y'all called in tonight. Thank you so much. Amen. Whomever's ready, we can call it ready golf. Who would like to speak first? How you doing this evening? How's your mental? And how did you feel about the message of Job tonight as we finish out chapter 42?
It's some tick ticking. I don't know what that is.
There's a lot of ticking in the background.
I'm not sure
what that is.
I'm not sure either.
I don't know if it's coming from a combination of things. So
there it is. It stopped.
Go ahead. If it keeps doing it, you all, I'll mute all the line and then unmute them one at a time. And you'll hear it when I unmute it. And that'll be your opportunity to continue.
Amen. Good evening, each and everyone. Giving honor to our Father, His Son, and the Holy Spirit, who is my awakening this morning, the heartbeat. Amen. Thanking God for the breath of life. Amen. Inhaling and exhaling. My mentor today is about a 9.5, and I give God the glory and the praise just for another opportunity to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And I give Him 3 thumbs up. Because one for the Father, one for the Son, and one for the Holy Spirit that reigns through the Father.
family.
I'm going to help you out, Pastor Bonnie. I'll just read all the lines one by one.
And Matt.
Evangelist, what's your area code?
Amen. My area code is
256. 257. So I'm muting everything
256.
Else. 256. All right.
Yes, sir.
So we're going to keep you open.
Okay.
And what we'll do, we'll unlock them one at a time. So next we'll unlock 404.
Amen. Praise God. And I just want to thank you for the message tonight coming out of the book of Job 42. I'm so grateful. Because as you was teaching tonight, I got so much out of it. Because I too, and I'm a witness. I'm a witness. I have to put my hands and my toes and my feet up and raise my hand, and I repent and I said, Lord, to forgive me. Forgive me of things that I said and done to grieve his spirit in any way, form, or fashion, because I too questioned the Lord. You know, I got angry with him because why me? The question was, why me, Lord? Why me? Why I'm going through? Why was I just put out here to be picked on? Why me? You know, I questioned him, and I got angry with him. You know, and so I can't speak for Job's wife to how she felt, but I can speak for Clay tonight because I, too, got angry with the Lord because things that took place in my life, you know, and why me? He said, why not you? You know, when I began to gain knowledge and wisdom and understanding, then that's when I knew better. When you know better, you do better. So I'm grateful. I'm grateful for knowing better tonight that in spite of what I've been through and in spite of what we're going through, you know, we're picked out to be picked on. And if we don't go through nothing, we're not able to tell somebody about somebody that can save anybody. So I'm just so grateful tonight. I'm grateful for this message tonight in the book of Job. Job makes me realize and know just how blessed that I am. You know, just how blessed that I am for my fourth fathers and fourth mother that fought, amen, for our rights today. Amen. And just so much that you can say, so much food, so much meat in this lesson here, you know, makes
amen.
You say, wow, Lord, you know, I hurt you. Lord, I hurt you. I disrespected you. I was disobedient to you. And Lord, I asked that you forgive me for those things, even though I listen and I go back and I say, Lord, I've done those things. I said those things, but you find justice in forgiving me because I knew not what I was saying. I was just saying something because of hurt, because of pain, because of grief, because I felt like you left me out there to wither by myself. You left me out there, you know, in the rain and sleet and hell. And but I didn't know at the same time that you was carrying me through. You was making a way out of no way for me. And I'm so grateful for that today. And I just get joy to say, Lord, you look beyond my faults and you saw my knees. I was ignorant. I was ignorant to the fact, but when I know better, then I've done better. And I just ask him to forgive me. I repent. So he refocused me. He reset me. And he restarted me. He gave me an opportunity, amen, to live again. I shall
amen.
Not die but live and declare the work of the Lord. So I'm grateful for the message tonight. The lesson has truly been a blessing. It motivates me to keep on keeping on, keep on keeping on, and keeping my hands in the wine and change. A charge to keep I have in a God that I must glorify. So I'm grateful for that. And thank you again, Prophetess Pastor Bonnie. Thank you for the
amen.
Message.
Thank you, Evangelist Clayton. I'm going to area code 404 now. I'm using your line. Did you enjoy the message? How's your mental tonight? And do you have any comments or questions?
Yes, God bless. God bless you, Pastor Bonnet. God bless everyone on this line. And, yes, I really did enjoy the message this evening. My mental is 2 thumbs up. My crown is sitting just perfectly on my head. And Diamond is 4 paws up, running around here with her zoomies tonight. Yes, I always get a lot out of the Book of Job. And there have been times I was going through things, not realizing that I was walking in faith. I remember one time I lost my vehicle. After I lost my job, this was a long time ago, but anyway, I walked out, my vehicle was gone, so I called my mom, and I told her, I said, I think they repossessed my vehicle. And I started laughing. And she's like, well, why are you laughing? I said, Mom, that just means that God got something greater for me. And lo and behold, he did. Got a whole new vehicle, fully loaded with everything, and I was blessed. I didn't stress about it, and at the time, it was when I had went from an explorer to an expedition. And as soon as I got that expedition, the gas prices went up to $4 a gallon.
Yeah.
So I went from paying $40 to $50 to fill up to like $90 to $105. And I was just like, the guy said, well, do you want to get this vehicle back? I said, no, you did me a favor.
So,
but, I didn't have, and it was crazy because I was living outside of Atlanta at the time. It was Metro Atlanta, but I was outside of Atlanta. There was no buses running down there. So it was just a crazy place to be with no vehicle for a little while. And I just stayed faithful. I mean, I didn't stress about it. And my mom was like, you're not worried about it. I said, what can I do? I mean, God has something greater, and I'm glad I had that mentality to just trust God. It didn't, you know, lose it because I didn't have. You know, he bought me back something greater, and it always made me think about the Book of Job, how Job lost everything, but God replaced it twice as much. You know, he got twice as much. So, you know, it's about walking in faith and staying strong and trusting God and not having any regrets. But I'm so thankful for the things that I've been able to walk through.
Amen.
So with that, I'm complete. I love the Book of Job, but I did get a lot out of it. Just stay faithful and trust God. No matter
Amen.
What, when you feel like you're at your lowest, trust God.
That's it. Trust the Lord.
Amen.
Thank you. I'm coming to area code 216. I'm unlocking your line. Amen. God bless you.
Good evening.
216. Go ahead.
Good evening. How are you? Hello, everyone.
All right. This is Six. All right.
It is I. Great message. The patience of Job. I definitely take a page out of the 42 chapters. So you figure a road that's been traveled down many years, many months. That road is beat up. So I go left, and that's the road less traveled. It's a paved road, and it's time for a recharge reset of the mind. So I'm taking the page and having the patience of Job. Mm-hmm. And just recharge, reset, and going left. So, with that, I'm complete. Great message.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Six. I definitely appreciate your comments. How's your mental this evening?
Mental is good. Mental is good. 2 thumbs up, 2 paws up for trumpet.
All right. Well, thank you once again, Brother Six.
Mm-hmm.
I'm coming to 901. I think that's Lady Bonnet. Your line's being unmuted now. Come on.
Hey,
Lady Bonnet.
Pastor Bonnet, can you hear me?
Yeah, all right.
Okay, to God be the glory. I thank God today. I thank God for the message today, Pastor Bonnet. My mental is 2 thumbs up. Had a great day today. Enjoyed my day with my great grand nephews today. Thank God for giving me the ability to have the mind to take care of them today. I just thank God for just a repentant heart, to repent because being sorry from the heart, and he give us the opportunity because he'll forgive us 7 times 70. So I just thank God for the book of Job and having an intimacy with God and the best relationship of feeling God's word, you know, and he give us peace, joy, and grace and mercy, you know, day by day. So I just thank God, and then we have to encourage ourselves because everyone is, and you know, sometimes people will fall away from you, and that's what I feel, you know, sometimes we can't be around everybody's spirit and everything because sometimes people can bring you down, and sometimes you're just in that season. So that's why we got to encourage ourselves in the Lord. And so I just thank God and that he has his grace and mercy that renews day by day. Thank God for the book of Job because he stayed faithful to God. Stayed faithful to God. God gave him twice as much. So God, to God be the glory. My message is 2 thumbs up. God bless everyone.
Thank you, Lady Bonnet. Amen. Eric Cole 305.
I put down the door.
All right.
She took the web control and she took the moderator code.
Okay. We're going to come back to you, area code 305, if you're not ready. Erica. All right. We'll come back to them. Amen. Amen. She's doing something. Amen. Area code 440. God bless you this evening.
I'm mostly just listening in tonight, and everything has been great. I enjoyed all of it, so that's my comments.
Amen. Thank you, Missionary Ken. Please hold on to the line. I would like for you to announce about the donation to the blind, for the bus for the blind. And so I want to come back to you at a later time if you're available to do that. Okay. Amen. Area code 205. We're unlocking your line now. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Ella Lockley. Amen. God bless you, sir.
God bless you too, sir. I really enjoyed the message. It was a very encouraging and inspiring message. Talking about Job, all the things that he went through. And I really was blessed by it. I got a lot out of it. And my mental is about a 9. And I thank you for sharing the message and just keep obeying God. Thank you. Amen.
Amen. Hello. Thank you, sir.
Hello to everyone. This is Mr. Cindy Lockley, the wife of Leslie Lockley. My mental is like 8.5, which always is good for me. And we had a busy day today. And I definitely enjoyed the message tonight about Job. And God, he gave his life for us, so we should appreciate and want to give our life to Christ. And we're going to suffer for a while, so we just got to learn how to accept and do what God wants us to do and follow his command and trust him because there's no other way. He's our way maker. He's our all in all. And I thank God that for all the things he's from the small things to the big things that he's done in my life and my family's life. And I'm thankful to be here today, tonight. And I'm looking forward. I thank you for sharing, taking the time out to teach Prophet Bunny, and by switching different Bibles, that helps out a lot too. And I'm just very blessed to be here and thankful. And thank you all, and bless you and family. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lockleys. I appreciate y'all comments. Amen. Amen. So thank you so very much. I'm going to 904 now. 904. Is that Amber?
Yes, it is. Bless, bless, bless. I'm 2 thumbs up, and today I'm a 10.
All right.
And I love your message. Love the message. Love the message.
Amen. Amen. Did you have any questions about the message?
No, sir. No, sir. I have no questions right now.
All right. All right. Well, thank you so very much for your comments, and we're glad that you are excited. Amen. I'm going to try unlocking these lines one more time. 305, did you have any comments tonight? How's your mental?
Over here, it's only me, Stacy.
Okay. I think that's where I've gone wrong there. Okay.
God bless. Thanks for calling in.
Amen. Brother Six. Amen. I'm not sure. I think the signal is when we have so many people on the line, I think that's the network. So we may need to check on that. So it may not allow me to open up so many lines at the same time. So I think that's what's going on. So right now I'm going to open up Clayton line, Queen line, your line, and I'm going to come back to Brother Six in a moment. Amen. I got Lady Bonnet lines on. So I think I still got Ken line open too. Amen. And we'll close the other lines.
No. They're still doing it.
We'll close one more.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's Blog Talk doing that, because I know on Friday night, AJ Squad has. I haven't noticed it on their shows, and they have more callers in than we have right now. It could just be somebody's line, you know. Like I said, sometimes the weather affects it and whatnot, so it could just be that issue. Not sure.
Yeah. Yep. Now it's doing it again. And it's on three lines. So, nevertheless, I want to say. Okay. It stopped when I closed that line. Well, nevertheless, I want to say thank everybody for calling in tonight. Amen. Missionary Ken, before I finish my closing remark, I want to give you opportunity to speak concerning the bus ministry, our campaign for raising funds for the bus for the blind. Sir, you have the floor.
Thank you, Pastor Bonnet. Also, if anybody still has questions, I'd like to find out more information about what's going on, they could check out the rewind on the Backstage with Six Eyes that was done just this last Saturday, because there's lots of information on there about why we're wanting a bus, the reasons for it, the whole works, what it's going to be used for, the whole works, and you could check that out on the rewind. But If you wish to be a donor and be a part of getting this bus for the blind ministry, you have a couple options through Six Eyes here, since we're doing this through Six Eyes. First off is the PayPal, sixeyes6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6@gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6@gmail.com. If you're a Cash App user, just go to Cash App, enter $SIXEYES, digit 2, digit 4. Again, $SIXEYES, 24. In both cases, you enter the amount of your love gift. And then in the box where it asks for what the donation is for, just put the name of the show that you heard this on, in this case, Motivational Monday, and the word bus. Motivational Monday and the word bus. And they will be sure to get it to us and let us know which listeners, you know, obviously what listeners from what show helped in the donation of this bus. And we will thank you very, very much. God bless.
Amen. Thank you, Missionary Ken. Amen. Amen. And we're doing this all month long. So whatever gifts that you feel free in your heart to give, we encourage you to give. I believe the word of God. It says, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measures, shaking together, pressed down, running over, shall God give, cause men to give unto your bosom. And so when you're sowing gifts with a free heart, amen, God sees that generosity, amen. And I just love the text. The text says, give and it shall be given, amen. And so allow God generosity of the generosity of God through your heart to what to give, and again we thank you so very much for your gift. If you like to donate to this program, you can send it to me directly at Cash App. That's $ Pastor Bonnet. And that's $ PASTORBONNETT. And that's the Cash App. Amen. Always, we encourage you to give to the Six Eyes radio program. Amen. All donations are greatly appreciated in helping to keep the station running well. Amen. And we look forward to just sharing with you every given time, every opportunity time that God has allowed us. I'm thankful, amen, for the things he's done. I've had a full weekend, amen, ministering, amen. And so it's been real good, and I've been enjoying myself. So I'm thankful for this platform here with the Six Eyes Radio Network. I'm glad to have encountered this team. Amen. I have enjoyed myself this journey. Amen. And I'm looking forward to seeing what else God has for us as the year comes to an end. Amen. We're in the harvest season. Amen. Next month we'll be celebrating Thanksgiving. And following that, we'll be celebrating the birth of our Lord. I know many people say, well, Jesus wasn't born on Christmas, and blah, 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 blah. And I said to you like this, once again, we as a Christian community decided that we're going to celebrate our Lord and Savior birth on a particular date. We have not sinned. We are not in error because we don't know his actual date. Now, to all of you that think that we are doing wrong, here's my question to you. Do you celebrate your birthday? Do you think it's right to celebrate Jesus' birthday? Well, do you know Jesus' birthday? Have you decided once a year, the same day every year, just like the same day every year for your birth, that you celebrate? Would you celebrate Jesus' birthday on a same day every year? And how would that celebration look? Those are questions I have for you. I want you to think about that. Well, I ain't got to celebrate his birthday. You know, you don't have to. But I think I'm going to do celebration because I celebrate the month of September. So I enjoy September as being my birthday month. I'm going to enjoy God all year long. And I'm going to make a special dedication to serve him, to celebrate him on the 25th of December. Why? Because I will not put me above him. You put him above you, or are you above him? I just want you to think about that to all those that think we're wrong for celebrating Christmas. It's still Christmas, even though we say Christmas. That's all I'm saying to you. It's spelled Christmas. I can't help what the secular world has done for their profit. I can't blame them. They done what was best for them. I'm just encouraging you to have an intimate relationship with God and do what's best for your family. And with that, I am complete. Any prayer requests on tonight? I'm going to ask Evangelist Clayton to, since all the lines can't be opened up at one time, I want you to put those prayer requests in your heart and in your mind. And we know there's so many things that we're praying for. Remember, you still have time to register to vote. If you're not a registered voter, I encourage you to vote. Please vote. If you don't know whom to vote for, you have time to pray about it. Amen. But please do not waste your vote. When it comes down to the presidency of the United States, there's a part where you can write in a name. Please, people, do not write Jesus Christ's name in that box. I'm going to say it again.
That's right.
Please. Do not write in your ballot for your election for the president of the United States of America, Jesus Christ. You just wasted your vote. Jesus Christ is not coming back just to run for the next 4 years, America. That's foolishness. So please do not waste your vote. When we see him again, we will see him because he's going to catch us up in the air. And we're going to be gone for a period of time. Then he's going to return not to rule America, but the whole planet.
That's it.
Period. So let's not be so I didn't want to say that, Lady Bonnie. Foolish that we make a statement like that. Let's be intelligent. Let's use it respectfully. And if the person you vote for don't win, pray for the other person to be guided by the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
If the person you vote for wins, pray that they will listen to the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
While they are performing their duty, period. We're to pray for our leaders, period. I don't want to be president. I don't want that pressure because it's a lot. We can talk from the sideline. If I'm president,
right.
I do this, I do that. But don't make your community great first. Make it better first. Amen. Focus on your house. Is everything lined up in your house?
That's
is
right.
your yard perfect? Amen.
Right.
I stay in an apartment. Well, is your apartment perfect? Is it so good? I can remember my mom, is a testimony again, my mom was won a prize in I can't remember the name of the magazine, one of those home magazines. She said in the picture of her bedroom, she won first place prize, and they gave her brand new this, that, and the other because of the way she kept the house.
Mm-hmm.
My mom made sure. Me and my brother, we know how to cook. We know how to wash clothes, fold.
Mm-hmm.
We know how to clean the house, vacuum, wash baseboard, all of it. There's nothing in the house we can't do. Organize, rearrange, all of that. Because that's what my mama did regularly. Not just seasonal. But anyway, I digress. Evangelist Clayton, close us out in a word of prayer and bless our unspoken request on tonight. Amen.
Our Father who art in heaven, holy will be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven, give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our debt as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but to deliver us from evil. For thy is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Forever in your Son, Jesus Christ's name, we ask and pray. Father God of all, repenting God of said, done, omission, commission, to grieve or displease you in any way, form, or fashion, Father God, we come to you, God, as humble as we know how, Lord, to give you the glory, to praise your holy name, God. Because of who you are, Father God, we just want to tell you thank you, God. Thank you for life, health, and strength, Father God. But most of all, Father God, thank you for giving us knowledge, wisdom, and understanding, Father God. And Lord, we give you all the glory and all of the praise, God. We thank you for being the highest physician, the counselor, the representative, Father God. Thank you for being the best friend, God, that we could have, Father God. What a friend that we have in Jesus. And all our sins and grief that you bear, Father God, because you care for us. And Lord, we give you all of the glory and all of the praise, Lord. Thank you for your blessed assurance, Father God, because you are ours, God, and we can call on you at any hour, any time of the day, Father God. You are with us wheresoever that we go, God. So, God, we give you the glory. We give you the praise, Father God. Lord, continue to order our step to, from, for, and near, Father God. Thank you for keeping a hedge of protection around our children, our neighbors, our community, Father God, our church family, Father God. Thank you, God, for being that bridge over troubled water, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Thank you for being Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Thank you for being our Jehovah Jireh, Father God, our provider tonight, God. Like no other, God, you're able, God. Thank you for being water when we're thirsty. Thank you for being food when we're hungry, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord. Like no other, God. Thank you for the breakthroughs and miracles, God, that you are performing above all we ask or think. But most of all, thank you for being patient, God. Patient, God. Thank you, God, for being patient, God. Thank you, Father God, for giving us the ability to trust you in all our ways, acknowledging you, God, that you shall direct our path, Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord. Like no other, you are able, God, to do all things, Father God. And Lord, help us to continue to be helpers and doers to one another. We are our brothers and sisters' keepers, Father God, in the name of Jesus, God. And Lord, we give you all the glory and all the praise. Give traveling grace to those that has to travel to, from, far, and near, Father God. Highways, airways, waterways, bicycling, walking, or trailways, God. You are able, God, to do all things, God. So we ask, Lord, to grant us that serenity to accept the things, Lord, that we cannot change, God. But give us the courage to change those things that we can, Father God. And the wisdom to know the difference, God. And Lord, write on the table of our hearts that we might not sin against thee, Father God, in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus Christ. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, God. And we lay it at the foot of thy altar, God, that is already done in your Son, Jesus Christ's name, thy strength, Father God, that we leaning and we're depending on, God, that we got to trust in, God. And Lord, we give you the glory, the praise, and the honor. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus Christ, that we ask and pray. Amen, amen, and amen.
Amen. Good night, family. Love all of you. Thank you for joining
in.
Good
night, everybody.
Until the next time, God see fit that we can come together again. God be with you. God keep you.
Yes, sir.
Pray for us and we pray for you. Amen.
Yes,
love you. Good night.
Love you all more.
Amen.
Good night. Pastor Bonnie, you still there?
Okay.